is Sportsfeld. We have hit the middle of October. It's time for the winter sports, if you will, to enter into our purview. I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight tooth and nail. I'm going to scratch and claw to maybe, Jake, open you up to talking about the Maple Leafs today.
Look, I'll talk about it. I can't imagine why Anne would want to listen to it because I don't know anything.
It's exactly like, what you want. 30 seconds.
I can't begin to explain. It's not even that I'm not interested or not excited or not a supporter. I just can't begin to explain how little I have paid attention.
Sure. We've been elbow, neck deep in a Blue Jay season. Anybody who listens to this obviously already knows that. Already knows to expect that we spent at least 6 months, probably going back further. We spent, basically up until the week before George Springer signed, which is January, 10 months more accurately, basically talking about the Blue Jays on this show. I think we sort of, maybe kind of, mentioned the Raptors once or twice. But the only time we talked about the Maple Leafs in the entirety that I can remember of the last year was to point out that we thought they were going to beat the Canadians, and then they didn't. And then I was like, well.
I mean, there isn't really a whole lot to know, I think, about the Leafs at this point, is the problem. It's not even that it's not interesting. It's just that, barring something unforeseen, I feel like we kind of know the script here.
Sure.
Like, they're going to be good in the regular season. They'll probably... Are they going back to normal divisions this year? I actually don't know.
It is a normal division. They are in a division with Boston and Tampa Bay and the Floridians and Montreal.
And then because of the stupid...
Ottawa.
Playoff single, probably have a really tough first-round opponent. We'll see if they can get out of it. But I just don't see... I don't see a way in which the story is any different than what we expect.
Well, we have new faces in new places. Nick, how about Nick Ritchie? How's that strike you?
I've heard the name.
How about Michael Bunting?
I've heard the name. Seen it on Twitter. I follow the Leafs on Twitter. I see the names.
David Kampf.
No, I don't know who that is.
How about Andrej Kase?
No idea. Never heard that name in my life.
Mike Amadio.
Yeah, I've seen that one around.
That's line three, baby. I just told you line three.
That's line three? Well, I thought those guys were like, I thought we were talking Marlies here.
I have some bad news about what the bottom six of this team looks like right now. It looks pretty Marley-ish.
Well, no, I just mean like.
No, I got you.
I didn't think they were guys who, I thought we were talking like.
Josh Hosang.
Well, see, that I'm up on. I like that.
That's Marlies.
Yeah, but I thought we were talking like. I'm trying to give a name that, like, Callie Rosen. Like, I don't need to learn his name.
Right.
Played four games for Leafs, and then was in the Marlies.
I mean, there's a chance these guys are that, but...
For sure, but, like, I didn't think that they were, like, these guys are on the third line.
Well, we're dealing with... Matthews is gone with wrist injury.
That I knew. Yeah.
Marner is a game-time decision. Obviously, by the time this comes out, we will know whether or not Mitchell Marner played tonight.
I know he was... Oh, the game's tonight.
They're playing Wednesday. Yes. Leafs Canadians to open the season Wednesday night.
The Leafs play the Canadians to open the season tonight. Get out of town.
Oh, my goodness. How far they've fallen. There was a time.
Absolutely.
There was a time.
And look, I'm not even saying that if the script plays out exactly like I expect it to, I'm not saying by March I won't be into it. I probably won't start being tonight, into it until March. Yeah. But, like, yeah. I can get into some hockey and some playoff hockey, but, like, I've been pretty tuned out of sports altogether.
Sure.
Since the Jays went out. And the Raptors are really taking all of my Toronto, like, focus I have left. There's just no way that, like, man, what's the third line? Who are these guys?
Okay, well, Currently, this is dailyfaceoff.com. Obviously, subject to change as we are more than an hour away from puck drop. I'm sure we'll see the line combos come down while we do this. But dailyfaceoff.com right now has line one as Tavares between Richie and Marner. Line two is Kerfoot between Nylander and Bunting. Line three is Kampf with Kase and Engvall. Line four is Amadio with Simmons and Spezza. Depth, not so much. Not so much the depth. I guess that's without Mikheyev, who is out for 6 to 8 weeks, I believe, and Matthews, who will probably miss 3 games-ish.
Sure.
That's your lineup, baby. D pairings, Riley, Brody, Muzzin, Hall, Sandin, and Dermott.
Look, I'm not... I don't know. I don't know where to go with this. I don't want to be disrespectful to those who care, because I know people care so much. And I think that's fair. And I know that it... But, like, also... What are you listening to us to talk about hockey for?
Well, I mean, we got to talk about something. It's a sports podcast, Jake.
Well, I figured we'd talk more about the Blue Jays.
What is there to say?
I don't know what they might do going forward.
I thought that was an end of the month. Is that
an end of the month conversation? Okay. Well, no, that's fine. Well,
it is literally opening night. And next week on Wednesday is Raptors opening night. The 20th is the first game of the Raptors
season. Oh yeah, no, I'm fine to talk with the Raptors next week. That makes sense to me.
So to me it makes sense on the day that the sport starts, right?
That's fair. No, I hear that. That makes sense. Okay, yeah.
I've found myself I'm not chomping at the bit, but I'm closer than I thought I would be to like having some stake in this. I know, listen, the end of the year I was like spitting venom. I was like, I'll never do this again. I think I probably
how said. Could you watch that shit and then be like, you know what I want to do is watch more of this.
I think it's the nature of the fan base of this team, you know, to hit the extremes and all the emotions. I think what that is, more or less, personally speaking, and to those who made similar pledges can speak to their own level of this, was like, you know, not so much that they have to earn their way back into my good books, but like I'm basically not going to let myself get hurt when they are bad, right? That's sort of what's insulating against. If they're good and it's fun, whatever. You chuck on some hockey and the Leafs win and you nothing ventured, nothing gained. But if they're terrible, you're sort of like, well, I can just tune this out pretty easily, which I think is honestly it's fair. That's fandom. I'll probably flip over. It's the Maple Leafs. It's the winter. But again, if they lose to Montreal, it won't be like painful. Nor will I watch the entire thing if they come out and they're losing early. Because this, as I said, that without Matthews and possibly without Marner, this gets no fun pretty quick. In general, before we, you know, because I think we can do some Raptors sort of preseason stuff in the second segment here. But in general, you sort of said, you know, you expect a script, you expect sort of things to be more or less the same. What is sort of your expectation and temperature check right now? I'm gonna go with low.
No, it's not is the thing. I think that, you know, that division's always going to be a pain in the ass because of how it's structured. Like, it's not like last year where they could be just like good and cruise to a first place finish, like to finish ahead of Tampa and Boston. And if I remember, Florida's even put together a good team now.
I've seen people pick Florida to win the division, which to me seems completely absurd.
Yeah. And like, I think it's not, I think you can kind of coast, which the Leafs are, the Leafs love to do. The Leafs love to coast. And like last year they could do that and coast and finish first. I don't know if you can do that in a division with Boston and Florida and Tampa. And I still think like they're going to make the playoffs. Whether they're one of these top three spots in the wild card spot, I don't really know, if I'm being honest. But they have to be a little more locked in for a regular season, which I know we kind of joked about we'd never watch the regular season again, but they do have to be, we've seen it in every year but last year, of them kind of just like not give a shit for 4 months.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure you can do that, because like Division's getting better. Like, I don't have a lot of faith in the Habs repeating any success from last year, but they're still better than they were 2 years ago when we were last seeing these division alignments. So like there's 4.5 other teams in there that you have to compete with. So I don't think they can really coast by. So my expectation honestly is that they'll probably be like second in, I think, going to finish second in the division, and then we'll see if they beat Boston in the first round.
Yeah. I think that's the sort of reality that we must prepare ourselves for. I'm trying my best, and something I always try to do, especially with the Maple Leafs, because you know it's very easy to get into a place where you are following Maple Leafs fans and Maple Leafs reporters, and you are only seeing the internal expectation. And you know, I tried my best this offseason and approaching this year and coming into tonight to read previews from folks who are using analytical models, or folks who are, you know, league wide, or folks who basically have no tie to hoping that the Maple Leafs are good. I think of like Dom Lecision with The Athletic, who does his models based on a number of factors, and it's completely like, this is what the computer is telling me. And he has them as the number two team in the NHL, which to me seems absolutely crazy. But I also admit that like, I don't know anything about the bottom six guys we talked about. Kampf, Kase, Bunting, Richie. I know about as much as I can filter out from Blake's morning show on The Fan. That's 100% of what I have is when they bring on a hockey guest.
I'm glad that we have Blake to now tell us what to think about the Leafs and Raptors.
And of course, that is he sort of comes from a similar school where you want, you try to get the most unbiased take you can on this team. People are saying, you know, still a competitive team, still a top team, should be a 100-point team. I feel like something that they did wrong last year, and it's easy, of course, to look at it now and say, well, they obviously lost in the first round, and they should have done this, they should have done that. But for me, what I ended up being disappointed in when I was able to sort of calm down and take a full view of last year is someone like Rasmus Sandin, someone like Tim Liljegren, is like when they had first place wrapped up and when they were clearly going to be a playoff team and clearly going to play somebody in their division who was in the lower part, they didn't do stuff like really test those guys' limits, like really move those guys up in the lineup and see how they responded to bigger things. And I think now you're in a situation where like Sandin sort of has to be a part of this team and be a contributor. And we're coming into year three of him being on the fringes of this roster, probably year three, I assume 18, 19, and 20, in his ages. You know, it's sort of a year where you really need him to be a part of this, and you're still sort of not sure where he fits in. Is he bottom pairing? Is he middle pairing? Is he somebody that you're going to have to extend and pay $5 million a year for? That is where I think, you know, a lesson for me is learned is like, it was great they relied on Matthews to score all those goals, and it was great that they had that great regular season from Marner, and they never really figured out how to get scoring up and down the lineup. Somebody like Robertson, who really didn't, you know, do a lot to assert himself last year and is obviously not on the opening day lineup this year, like that sort of stuff. Guys on rookie contracts, guys massively outproducing their number. And listen, I hate, you know, I hate sort of pocket watching and equating money earned to the quality of the play. A good player is a good player, no matter how much they're earning. But in a salary cap league, the reality is part of the bottom of the roster has to massively outperform the money they are given. And the easiest way to do that, of course, is with entry-level contracts. Guys who were rookies, guys who were still in their first deal, a Robertson, a Sandin, a Liljegren, these guys that you are hoping, because you have so much money tied up in Tavares, Marner, Matthews, and Nylander, you know, you're able to get that value push. And boy, looking at it now, opening day, half the roster is guys that you're hoping massively outperform their paychecks. In Richie, Bunting, Kampf, Kase, Amadio, even Spezza and Simmons, like obviously they're not there to carry the team, but they're guys playing near the minimum that anything you can get from them is really valuable. So I think that is important, but it is also sort of glossing over the basics, which is they need their great players to be great. That's pretty important. And you know, it's a little reductive to look at what went wrong last playoffs and say, well, they didn't get anything from Tavares because he was hurt. They got barely anything from Marner, and they didn't get a lot from Matthews when they needed it. And that is sort of directly to if they lost. If Marner and Matthews had played great and they still lost, we're having a different conversation today. But I think the fact that they were sort of front and center in their struggles, and the team struggled too, makes it not so difficult to sort of say, like, what needs to change this year is in the biggest games, their best players need to play better. And that and the goaltending, Campbell and Mrazek. We'll see. I like Jack Campbell. He's a likable guy. He was the star of the behind the scenes series and with the nicest guy in the world. We will see what life as 1A/1B for him is in his full season in Toronto.
I have a question for you.
Please.
You are much more into this than I expected, which is not a criticism. I'm just surprised.
Sure.
How much of that is due to watching All or Nothing?
Not a whole lot. I wouldn't say a whole lot. I liked that because I enjoy seeing behind the scenes of trade negotiations, and I enjoy seeing what coaches say to players. I would say that's probably part of it. But another part of it is just sort of, you know, it's a comfort. It's a wintertime comfort, and it is already mid-October, and it's sort of, it's always been part of my life. The passion won't be there as well as it is, but listening to Blake on the radio and sort of it's, you listen to Toronto radio, it's going to be a topic. So, yeah, I think it'll be a nice sort of calm distraction. I think it'll be sort of similar to the way I'm sort of doing it right now is the way that I view NBA teams that I don't especially care about, where it's like, yeah, it's nice that it's on. And if a team that I don't really care about loses or wins, so be it. So, yeah, I'm also staring at the lines, right? And this is not off the top of my head. Am I doing any of this?
Okay, I'm surprised that we have an actual content heavy first section of the Maple Leafs, and I'm just surprised.
Well, I also we are doing a show.
It's just not what I expected. We didn't talk about what
one
we're
of
doing.
One of the two of us has to have some information.
I suppose that's true.
What did you think the Leafs? You didn't think there was going to be a Leafs part.
No, I thought we'd be like, ah, it's starting. I thought, and then we'd be like, okay, go Leafs. Like, yeah, obviously, I mean, that's it. Obviously, gist. Like, I want them to win.
Yes.
I want fun. It's weird. You know, I actually think that there's an interesting conversation to be had about our declining Maple Leafs fandom.
Sure.
And I'm trying to figure out, I was thinking about this the other day, actually. Because I do think about hockey off the show sometimes.
Sure.
I was thinking about how far they've sort of fallen in my hierarchy of giving a shit.
Yep.
Like, I think I gauge a lot of it by sort of what my group chat, what trade rumors get bandied about most.
Yeah.
And I noticed that, like there's some TFC rumors that got a full afternoon's worth of play of conversation. And I don't know if we've, like, I think we've barely mentioned the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
Not that there's a lot of rumors or like news to talk about. Cause it's kind of just like hockey camp battles aren't as interesting as basketball camp battles.
And they are who they are.
And they are who they are.
As you sort of said, right?
Yeah. But I'm one, like, and obviously my enjoyment of hockey in general has gone down since when I was younger, which is fine. But I do find it interesting how I've at least always sort of been like into watching opening night.
Sure.
And I'm wondering if it's like, I don't like, so it was really easy before to just like blame it on the pandemic or whatever. Like, oh, I can't go to a bar to watch it. But like I could, but I genuinely didn't even know it was tonight.
The incredible irony, of course, is that it's probably a better version of the team than the ones you did care.
Of course.
I agree with you because I agree that, you know, our interest compared to even before they had any of these good players is probably higher. And we would talk about camp battles and we would talk about the bottom six instead of just sort of being like, I don't know, whoever is in there. But yeah, I think it is very quickly we sort of have learned even being excited about this core is sort of... They have become, right, we talked about the Shanahan would come in and changing the culture and all those things that we sort of resented for the previous generations. All those things are now being thrown on this generation too, where this generation is now the Muskoka club that has, there's too much celebrity and all these stupid old complaints that you would hear from your parents' parents or your uncles or sort of that, you know, the radio caller Leafs fan. All that stuff is now just thrown on these new guys because they haven't won. And I think the cast of characters being back and sort of the big names being who they are plays a part in that. But also I think, and not to be outdone, is you know, the Raptors have had unprecedented success and the Blue Jays have a lot of really, not just good players, but like exciting good players who play, who are young and fun and play with real joy and you can see it and you can feel it. And, you know, there's always been a bit of a wall in Leafs fandom where it's like, you know that you are hated and you know that it's exhausting and you know that it's probably not going to be rewarding. And you have all these other fan bases where like no one really hates you for being a Raptors fan and the team treats you well and the team makes good decisions. No one really hates you. Like, there are teams that don't like the Blue Jays, but no one like is like, oh, fucking Jays fans are the most annoying people on the planet. And I, you know, the team, they've been disappointing, but they're moving forward and they're building a core and it seems to be building the right way. TFC has always been a great fan experience. I think part of it is, you know, there's being a Leafs fan generally sucks and everyone hates you for it. It's like, it sort of sucks. It's just sort of not as much fun to be as it is to be a fan of the young, fun teams, especially as, and you would think, again, Leafs generally young and pretty fun, but something about the culture and sort of growing with it, not just Leafs culture, but hockey culture. I don't think it's that unnatural, and I don't think you're alone in sort of finding yourself being like, I have a lot of options now for my sports and my entertainment dollar in general. There's more shows you can watch, more things that you care about, more things that you're interested in, and I think maybe the interest has narrowed a little bit. That is an interesting examination, I think, on your end.
Yeah, and I think, like, there was a lot of, when we were younger, there was, when there weren't as many options, as you say, there was a lot of talk and argument about being the Leafs pricing people out and how the Jays and Raptors, and I guess to a lesser extent TFC, were sort of for the masses, so to speak. I know I'm simplifying that, but for discussion's sake. And obviously, you know, tickets to those other teams now aren't cheap necessarily. Like the days of the 1250 Sprite Zone for the Raptors, I think, are long gone. But I wonder if that had like a real effect, and just the combine of them, the timing of them being bad and the timing of the other teams being good. I don't know. And it's not just me, which is what I'm noticing. Like, I've noticed that my friends are much less into the Leafs, save for the playoffs.
Yeah.
No, and I don't think you can even blame, I think it's easy to blame playoff failures, but I think that's false because I think that ignores the last 60 years of being a Leafs fan.
Right, it's always been playoff failures. Yeah.
So I don't know, I just think it's interesting how the Leafs have stopped being popular in my circle, is what I guess is the better way to phrase it. Because it's not like the Leafs aren't popular, because obviously
right,
they are.
Of course.
But to your point, the time I get the most passionate about the Leafs outside of the playoffs is when someone's being a dick to me for liking the Leafs.
That's right. It's definitely interesting, and I think something that, you know, is worth debating, especially as we enter this time where they are about to be the only, for the next week at least, the only team in the city playing real games until we get to the Raptors. And we will get to the Raptors. We're going to talk Raptors preseason. The roster is ready to go. The preseason is over. They will be opening up shop a week from now. We're going to have more talk next week. But first, our first impressions of what we expect and what we like and all that after this. Speaking of that sort of scale balance of fandom in this city, the team that I think, you know, we have seen probably grow the most and is definitely getting some optimism and buzz back. It's been nice to see that a bit of a I think a negative, not totally negative, but like a
negative for the Raptors in Toronto.
Yeah, a challenging offseason where obviously they were a team last year that made the conscious decision to sort of take a bit of a step back and could see after the COVID loss of games, made the choice to you know go after a draft pick and Kyle Lowry leaves and sort of your core of that championship team is now down to basically three guys in Fred, Pascal, and OG. Pascal, a guy who had a really rough year last year from the fan base, unfortunately, as well. But a lot of new life, a lot of exciting new things. And I think some people that are immediately going to be fan favorites when we open this season up. Scotty Barnes, obviously, is an obvious pick, not just the size, not just the skill set, not just that he looks like a mini Kawhi Leonard, but that he's huge, smiling, seems to really enjoy the city. He really looks like a guy that's going to be fun and easy to cheer for. But Precious looks like a piece that you're excited to have, a guy who can handle and shoot and is a sort of a point center. A lot of stuff to be excited about here with this team. Delano Banton, local guy from Rexdale, making the team and showing a lot of things that they need. It's going to be an interesting year in that, you know, looking at the lineup, it certainly isn't this guy is a point guard, this guy's a shooting guard, this like it's going to be a bunch of tall guys who do everything on the floor all the time. I have been I've peeked my head in a couple preseason games. I really wanted to see Scotty, and I'm very interested in that. I feel like for the second year in a row we're talking about OG Anunoby really taking some steps forward. I am excited. I am feeling positive. I think this is a playoff team. Jake, where are you sitting right now on your Raptors, knowing you are a week away from the beginning of the regular season, knowing all that went on last year and all that came on the year before that? That very quick, you know, championship team, contender running it back, step back, and now here we are in 2021. Where are you sitting with both your expectations and your interest level a week out of the regular season starting?
Higher than I expected. I sort of, you know, we talked about this after the Jays. It was like, okay, you know, this is also a funny contrast to our last segment. But after the Jays, we were both kind of like, okay, step back from Toronto sports for a minute. But the camp battles got me. I'm not going to lie. In like the preseason, I think I am happy that the Raptors are lovable still. I think last year it was really easy to get caught up in the fact they weren't in Toronto. I'm not going to say that I have like championship expectations this year, but I do think they're going to be better than people think, but that's another conversation.
Sure.
I just like that they seem like a likable bunch again. You know, they shored up the Dragic thing really quickly and smartly. Whether he's on the roster come end of the season, who knows? But I think that, yeah, I'm into it. I think that, you know, I don't want to toot my own horn here too much, but I will. But Precious was, I was very excited when they got him in the Lowry deal. I thought that was, when people were, you know, the day after the Lowry sign and trade, when it was dark days on Raptors Twitter and people were saying that how could they and what a terrible move and blah 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 blah. I was like, no, Precious is a great young piece for this team and this core. I think that, you know, Scotty's obviously super fun on and off the court. I am trying very hard to keep my OG Anunoby expectations at a rational place. I'm trying to not go to the, oh, he's going to average 22 and 11 and play all NBA defense all year. But I'm not succeeding. And that's where I'm at with OG Anunoby.
I'll go this far. I'll tell you that currently OG Anunoby is plus 2,000 to be most improved player. And I put down more than $0 on that bet.
That is, I would say, a great move, especially considering that, hold on, I had a tweet for this. Now I lost it. Where'd it go? There it is. Good airtime. This is preseason, so we don't need to, you know, humongous grains of salt and all that. But per 100 possessions, these are OG Anunoby's preseason numbers. 36, 7.5, and 3.3 on 52, 54, and 92 shooting splits. 69% true shooting. I don't know what USG is, but he's got a 24.8 of it.
Usage rate.
Yes, thank you. 46% of his threes were unassisted. 54% of his twos were unassisted. And a 23% steal rate.
Damn.
Again, humongous grains of salt as it is preseason, and also, you know, it's per 100 possessions, so I'm not sure how that equates to real world numbers, because I'm not an advanced stat.
Not our domain, you know, that kind of
basketball
thing.
Guy. Yeah. But it's very good, is the point. I also am willing to lay this take on the line right now.
I like this.
When he comes back, Pascal Siakam is going to shut everybody up.
I hope that's true for his sake and for our sake, because nothing to me was worse out of this last year than the like angst towards Pascal.
Yeah.
It was, and listen, I don't want to. It was a full recognition of the segment we just had. It was a little leafy the way that people were like, oh, now we hate Pascal because he's the highest paid player. It was a little
mm-hmm.
it was a little maple leafy.
Yeah, and
full understanding.
And I think it's, you know, we talk a lot about Blue Jays fans and how burned they are about trading prospects because of Noah Syndergaard.
Right.
And I think there's a little bit of that in Raptors fans with a guy like Pascal because of the unfair, I might add, reputation of DeMar in town. And I think the biggest fear of Raptors fans, which is a stupid fear, to be clear, is that they're going to go back to just making the second round every year.
Mm.
And I get that, but also making the second round every year is very good. And like, it's not like those DeMar teams were ever bad. But yeah, I see where people come from with Pascal, because he's not immediately, and so far has not been, a guy, capital A, capital G. But I also think he's going to come back this year and be very, very good.
I
think the team's going to be good. I don't think they're going to be, you know, necessarily a top, you know, I'm not sure they're going to have home court advantage in the first round or anything, but it also wouldn't surprise me. You know, the Nets are the top two teams of the conference last year, standings wise. Both their point guards are possibly not playing. the Bucks will be good. I don't think the Knicks are a four seed again. The Hawks will be good. Miami will be very good. But like Boston, whatever. Washington, whatever. The Pacers, whatever. The Hornets, whatever. Like if you
Chicago?
Yeah, Chicago will be fun.
DeMar and the Bulls?
I certainly don't think the Raptors are a 27 win team again.
Well, let me ask you this then.
All right.
The line on them is 36.5 wins. Are you banging the over on that?
Yeah, 36? Absolutely. I think they're gonna win. I'm gonna pull up the last real season.
I also have a plus 260 on the Raptors to make the playoffs if you're looking for bets. I have made.
That's easy money.
I'm in on OG, I'm in on Raptors to make the playoffs. I have $50 on the Leafs to win the cup. I went after
like
it with the futures.
I like it. So the last real basketball season, which if you remember the Raptors won, the Raptors are still the last legitimate NBA champions.
That's correct.
For the record.
100% correct.
The last legitimate NBA season, 41 wins got into the playoffs in the East.
Yeah.
Obviously the East is a little better now than it was 2 years ago. But if you're telling me the Raptors can't win 44 games and grab a sixth seed, I think you're crazy.
It's an interesting year because the East is, I would say the East is on aggregate better. But to your point, I don't know that anybody stands out aside from, honestly, to me, aside from the Bucks. The Bucks, I think, have they got a bit of what the Raptors got in their championship year, where it's like now they've figured out exactly what makes them an elite team, and they can sort of a lot of the small issues and the small things they couldn't overcome, they now know they can overcome them, and they're sort of being pushed to the side because everyone wants to talk about Brooklyn and they want to talk about Kyrie and they want to talk about KD. I think that works to the advantage of the Bucks, but yes, there is more talent flat across the board. But to your point, I don't know that there's any team that you're looking at and being like the Raptors would never have a chance against them, right? They're going to give all these teams trouble. That they can switch everything. They're going to be able to defend their asses off. The offense in the half court might be an issue, but that's the case for a lot of teams that don't have Kevin Durant on them. So that's sort of a thing that I'm willing to take as a possible downside. It's going to be interesting. I'm this is one of those ones where maybe it is tough to, and I probably should do more of what I do with the Maple Leafs, is try to get some opinions from folks who aren't so insular, because I think the national media is really low on the Raptors. But what else is new, right? Like, national NBA media is always low on the Raptors. They thought they were going to miss the playoffs the year they were the top team after they lost Kawhi. Like, so this is one where I sort of try to find that balance between, I think they get underrated by national media and they get, you know, the locals. I think everybody local is picking them to make the playoffs. Everyone local thinks they're at least a play-in team. There's no way they're not a play-in. Like, if they're not a play-in team, that to me is crazy. I think to say that they're finished between 7th and 10th, like, that seems easily achievable with this roster, with the way that they're going to play and how frustrating they're going to be. I think similar to last year's Knicks, where it was like they weren't especially talented high end, but they played with defensive tenacity every night, and there were many nights where teams weren't ready to match that defensive level and they snuck up and beat a bunch of teams. I think that can be the Raptors this year, and they can be, like you said, a 5 seed. I mean, who's to say it works for the 76ers at all? As to your point, who's to say that it doesn't completely fucking destroy their season, that Ben Simmons has been so difficult to get a handle on? And who's to say that the Celtics are going to be any good, or the as we said, the Pacers, like, they've had coaching turmoil. Are the Hawks going to be as good as they were last year? There's a lot of sort of stuff. I think that there are some questions about them. The Raptors obviously aren't immune to that, but I feel optimistic about them. And I think, to your point that you sort of started this with, I'm very happy that it seems like a team that is going to play with joy and is going to play with growth on the mind, right? We're sort of into that stage where, you said it, some fans are maybe dreading that maybe this year that the cap on this team, that the overachieving on this team, is the second round where they become a tough out. I think that's actually going to be pretty fun to watch based on who the guys are. If it was just like if it was Rudy Gay and like a bunch of veterans that sort of bitterly slogged through it, and yeah, they were a tough out, but nothing really came of it. But like, there's a lot of growth in a lot of different places and a lot of guys that are easy to cheer for. So if they're a tough out in the second round, to me, that is a successful season. And I know we learned from the Blue Jays that we hate to have you ask before the year starts, what makes a successful year? But is that what makes a successful year for you?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I agree. I think, and I also get sort of what you were alluding to. I get the sort of, 2 years off a championship going back to rebuild mode being frustrating. But I also think that's a viewpoint extremely in a vacuum, mm-hmm. and completely discounts what, like, the last 2 years, the Raptors were not a normal 2 years after a championship.
Yes.
Like, pre-COVID, pre-bubble, you and I were having conversations on this show saying they were going to repeat without Kawhi. And, if they're playing in front of the Toronto crowd the rest of that season, I don't think that's crazy.
Not crazy to say that they could have at least been a finals team. I don't think that's crazy at all.
Right. And
the fucking Heat made it through. The Heat.
Exactly. And last year, I mean, I feel like you can barely even count it as a real season. Half the team had COVID. They were playing in fucking Tampa Bay.
Practicing in a hotel room.
Practicing in a hotel ball. Yeah, like, I think it is unquestionable that the pandemic set the Raptors further back than intended and interrupted a lot of the plans. And I think that's fair. Like, that's just what happened. But
yeah,
I also think that has to come into play when taking into account where you think this team is, or more to the point, where you think this team should be. And from where I'm sitting, and granted it's before any games have been played, where I'm sitting, the Raptors are shaping themselves up to be pretty close to where they were sitting in like 2017, which is, they're going to be tough as hell. They're going to be fun. And in like 3 years, they're probably right back in the thick of it.
Absolutely.
Like, this is a young core that, you know, if you want to include Scotty in the core, I think that's fair. I'd like to see him play a game first, but you know, Pascal, OG, and Fred is nothing to scoff at.
Yeah,
as like a place to start. And I think I understand Raptors fans' frustration of having to sort of go back to square one, even though I think you could argue this is like square 2.5. But I get it. But I also think that, you know, success breeds impatience and irritating fans.
Sure.
Like, it just does. And I agree with you. I think this is going to, I think regardless of how the Raptors finish, this is going to be a fun year, because short of short of being a deep lottery team, I'm not sure what constitutes like a disappointing season for this team.
Yeah. Short of like Pascal is like a unstartable and Fred can't hit a three. Like, it's a growth year. And I think approaching that mindset and just sort of enjoying it, getting back to remembering to enjoy it, I think is going to be tantamount here. And I expect it to be a fun, sort of low stress year with some big moments, right? There's now, you know, playing Miami is going to be an event. It continues to be rivalries with teams like Boston. They have their rivalries. Chicago is now a marquee team, as it has been for the last little bit. I think it's going to be a fun year, and I think plenty to look forward to. And again, when growth is the goal, I think it's easy to find the little wins, and any real success that comes of it ends up feeling like gravy. So absolutely. All right, that's it for the sports, unless you have anything else to add.
No, that's it.
Beautiful. We move forward. We have Match of the Week, Song of the Week, and some TV talk after this. Jake, it can't all be sports 24 hours a day, as we have established in the last week and a half, where I have watched very little sports. It's been actually very peaceful and calm in the house to be not watching sports. We have other things to occupy our time. One of those things for you, my friend, is those tunes, that music. What do you have for us as your Song of the Week this week?
Song of the Week this week is Back Home by Magnolia Park. I've talked about Magnolia Park before, so I'm not going to get into it. You can go back and find whatever episode that was, and I don't remember. But Magnolia Park are a very cool band who have signed to the big deal Epitaph Records, which is extremely cool. And they put out a new single last week, I think, 6 days ago or so, called Back Home. And it's very good, and it's very exciting that a band like that can be on such a huge label. And a band that sounds like that, because they're such a cool mix of sound that isn't what you normally get from Epitaph's general or historical, mostly white punk sound.
Gotcha.
So I think it's great, and I'm excited for them, and I can't wait to hear where they go from here.
Excellent. For the Match of the Week, I'm going to go dip once more into the DWL. The Duffy Wrestling League on the show Heels, the main event in the season finale last week, Wild Bill against Ace versus Jack, where Crystal, the valet, ends up winning the title. Only Jack Spade could book a winner in a match who wasn't in the match, but by God, that's the DWL for you. In front of the entire county fair audience, exciting stuff. A great close to a great season, I hope, deeply. I try as hard as I can to not be the kind of person that ever tweets to a television network, but I would be very disappointed if Heels is not picked up for a second season. What a joy, what a well-written and well-acted first season. Excited to see if it picks up some steam and we get some fun crossover. As CM Punk was in two episodes, I would love to see who else will make the trip to Duffy for a one-off in the DWL going forward. We move into the television section. Jake, it's October. It's traditionally spooky season. I know it's always sort of spooky season over there. What are you watching? What anything? Any movies? Any television show sort of hit your eye in the right way in the last?
We actually have not been spooky at all. We have been watching a show called Taskmaster.
Oh, is that New Zealand?
English.
English. There's a New Zealand version, but yeah.
Oh, okay. If you don't know, Taskmaster is a show where British comedians compete in extremely stupid tasks, is basically the entirety of the show. It's stuff like, I'm trying to think of some we watched last night. What were some dumb tasks we saw last night? It's stuff like stack a bunch of boxes as high as you can, but you can't move from one spot kind of stuff.
Mm.
Bring in the sturdiest object is a challenge. And then it's judged by another comedian who's the host and the taskmaster.
Right.
And it's extraordinarily funny. We've been yelled at by a bunch of our friends to watch this for a long time, and it didn't really seem like a thing I was super into, but it's extremely entertaining. It's very dumb, but knows it's dumb and is supposed to be dumb. And the entire thing is on YouTube, so easy to find and easy to watch, and it's very funny.
That's great. A comic I know, Guy Montgomery, from New Zealand, is on and dominating the New Zealand season. That. So I'm aware sort of the general idea of the show. But I like that. That's a nice concept. We have dug into we're looking for, I would explain to you the level of spook. We're going for House of Wax starring Paris Hilton level is sort of our ideal. Like a movie that's trying to be scary, but not like actually going to burrow itself into my head and not actually be full of jump scares and not actually be too dark that it takes itself too seriously. We're sort of looking for that perfect level of still having some joy and being able to watch it with other stuff going on. I will say one of your recommendations, pleasantly surprised by the 2020 release Freaky.
Right.
Did not expect much of anything from this. The gist is it's a Freaky Friday send up, only Vince Vaughn switches spots with a teenage girl, and Vince Vaughn is a serial killer in the vein of a Jason who, hockey mask, chainsaws, gruesome deaths, some really cool gruesome deaths early, but the teenage girl then becomes the murderer and Vince Vaughn becomes a teenage girl. I know that very thing. It sounds very low expectation, but I was pleasantly surprised by that. And as well, my wife is really enjoying the Netflix series Midnight Mass, which is full of religious spook.
I think credit to Freaky for not doing the obvious joke is what I would say.
Yes. Freaky. It came out in 2020. I feel like I didn't hear anything about it, but
it was it was super low key. I definitely expected, but you see it and you're like, you see the plot and you're like, oh, it's gonna be a bunch of jokes about Vince Vaughn discovering what's like to be a 13-year-old girl.
Right. Right.
But it doesn't do that at all.
Not even a little bit. Yeah, I was really impressed. Really impressed. And maybe your mileage varies on your Vince Vaughn, but I got plenty of time for that. And then a more serious one, Midnight Mass. A mysterious priest comes to town and miracles, etc. befall the town. Pretty good. Pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. That is it. We move into the mailbag. First question comes from Peter Shepard. Going back to our Raptors discussion, is Svi the rightful heir to all of my misplaced Matt Thomas Hive energy? Svi is your white guy who can shoot, who played internationally, du jour. Svi Mikhailiuk? I'm not even sure.
I think that's
Ukrainian. He's Ukrainian. Second round pick in 2018. Came to the Raptors. Played in Kansas. Played 4 years in Kansas. Thunder and the Pistons last year. As far as we know, is making the Raptors. I think that maybe it's hard for me to give. I'm very simple this year. For me, it's all about OG and it's all about Scotty. I know that's reductive and obvious, but I am really in the bag for Scotty. And I know that it's sort of part of the Matt Thomas hive is that the guy isn't going to play too much. I think my guy for that is going to be Isak Bonga. I think I'm constantly going to want more Bonga. Give me the 6'8" guard, please.
I'm just going to the question. I'm just going to say yes. If you're looking for somewhere to direct your Matt Thomas energy, I think Svi's a good spot. He's got the Scotty Barnes endorsement, so you know it's good. But I'm also on Team Bonga, personally. But I think that's kind of what we're talking about. This is part of the fun of this team, I think, is there's like six guys to have this conversation about. Which I suppose you could argue doesn't necessarily make them a contending team, but it sure makes them a lot of fun.
Absolutely right. And I'm going to want a lot more Delano Banton, I can already tell. Checked every box. Boy, the years, these guys all born in like 1999,
I don't wanna
2001.
Know.
Holy moly. Cassie, could you live without one of your arms or one of your legs?
I mean, I'm sure I could.
Yes.
You adjust to anything.
The answer, of course, is yes, but
I'd be
I
very
think you're supposed to pick one.
Oh, I have to pick one.
That's what I assume she's getting at here.
I think leg, then.
My first thought was arm.
So much of what I do is arm dependent.
Yeah, I really do think I would be like the leg. I'm mostly sitting, and I think I would be able to get around fine without the leg. I think you're right.
Yeah, I think it would be harder.
Yeah.
But I think I'd go leg.
The unusual delivery, which is Jay, wants to know, what is our ideal bottom six pairing for the Maple Leafs? This is sort of, I was like questioning, because bottom six, that's three each, and pairing is defensive. So he wanted to know who our ideal bottom six two lines are, I assume.
Man, I can't name. I'm you know what? I'm going to pull up. Where's Mark Masters? Let's get a fucking practice line tweet that, where is it? He always sends out the practice lines. Come on, Mark. What's going on here? Oh, we streamed a lot today. I guess that makes sense. Anyway. Tennis, come on.
I'm going to tell you that I'm going to go with, we go Simmons, Spezza, Engvall, with Kampf, Kase, and Kerfoot. How about
there
that?
There we go. Okay, I got the official lineup for tonight. It's from 4 days ago. Bunting, Kerfoot, Kase, Engvall, Spezza, Simmons. Is that what you said?
I have Bunting up a bunch, but yes. Okay. Kerfoot, Kampf, Kase, Simmons, Engvall, Spezza.
I'm going to, yeah.
Boy, the bottom six is not very good.
I can't argue against any of that, especially because I haven't heard of three of them.
Mm-hmm.
But anything with more Jason Spezza is good in my book, is what I think.
Yeah, I have to agree. I never thought I would love Jason Spezza this much, but here
right?
we are.
Right? Truly, how can you not at this point?
Gleason, with a exact opposite of his question from last week, what's the best you've ever felt about yourself, Jake?
Man, I don't know. I've never had like a, this is the best I've felt, like, cogent moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can think of two off the top of my head.
I mean, I think a lot of it comes with like acting in theater. Anytime it goes well and people are telling you how great you are, that's way up there.
Yeah. I would say I once hosted basically the worst open mic in Toronto. Which was a Saturday night open mic in the basement of the Crown and Tiger, which was like...
Oh, yeah, I know that open mic.
Should have been abandoned. Like, you had to go to the washroom, you had to go through the stage, and the washroom didn't have doors on it, so people could see into the bathroom while people were going to the bathroom. And it was wet, and you would recruit drunks from upstairs to come down, because it was like cheap, small pitchers. So people would just come down hammered. And I hosted an open mic down there and, like, crushed. Like, really legitimately, like... did what a host is supposed to do, which was like play into those drunk assholes, but then like get them ready to go for when the comics came up, and then like really had a great flow and was like absolutely crushing, and was like, I couldn't believe the control I had over that fucking wild audience and how different it was from how I usually was on stage, which was like not as much in the moment and not as much like able to overcome these unpredictable things. I was really proud of myself. And the other one would maybe be being in Vegas for Yahoo Sports and recording like five videos over 3 days, and like it being some of my best work, and really feeling like I was getting my first shot to produce video and to do stuff I'd always wanted to do. That felt really good. And I know both of those are career oriented, but I think it's natural to sort of have those be the things that you put a ton of passion into and a ton of work into. So I think that's probably the best I ever felt about myself in terms of that I can put a finger on.
Yeah. People telling you you're good at stuff, it's hard to beat it.
Certainly helps. Yeah. Actually trying and succeeding is also pretty neat. Prairie Jays went into the Sportsfeld All or Nothing coming out. Oh boy.
That's just the podcast.
Yeah, people, they want the, like, you know, back when we used to go into the studio and we'd hang out and kick it around. I would go in and lay on Clay's couch. I got to tell you, it's not that exciting, frankly.
I'm going to tell you, it's just not going to happen.
Well, you don't want the documentary crew is just like 4 minutes before we go live. I send you a message and you send me one back and then we record. And then
yeah, just us sitting on our couch, really.
It's not as much. There's not as much war room. We go into a Kyle Dubas brings us in and asks us what's wrong. And
it's just frankly not that interesting, even if it wasn't that.
It would be a lot of looking at texts, which is not fun generally. And emails, I guess. Check me texts and emails. Nothing going on. Prairie Jays. Basically, a webcam. You can imagine what it would look like. And the final one, James Nielsen. This interesting question. Do you find it's a lot harder as you age to stay interested in video games? I'll play something for 20 minutes and then start asking myself why I'm doing that instead of something more productive.
No. I still play video games all the time.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what I never do. I'll tell you what I literally never do, Jake. This is zero
times. You're not doing something else?
All the credit in the world to James Nielsen. I am never, ever, 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 ever do I ever say I should be more productive. That never enters my brain for even a second of a day. If anything, it's the exact opposite. I'm like, how can I be less productive? What can I do to work less hard? I don't have that in my body.
It's entered my brain before, for sure, but only if I actively have something to do.
Yeah, it entered my brain when I was literally unemployed, right?
That's different.
But in terms of, like, I'm not at work right now and I have free time, I am never looking to make that productive. Ever. Ever.
Video game time is work is done and I'm relaxing time. I think that's the difference in getting older as it relates to this question. It used to be that, like, video game time was just always.
Right.
Because I was nothing. I was a teenager or a 20 person. But now it's like, okay, I work. I do my job.
Yeah.
And while I'm doing my job, I would rather be playing video games. But I still do my job. But then when my job is done and my responsibilities for the day are over, then it's time to play video games. And that's what I do. I play video games pretty much every day. And I feel great about it.
I would think maybe I play... my sessions aren't as long as they... But that's because...
But again, that's responsibilities.
There was a point where it was like absurd how much I was playing.
Cassie was out of town a couple weeks ago, and I was home all day. And other than the 3 hours I was watching the Blue Jays game, I was playing video games, and I had a great time.
That's awesome. I love that for you. That's it for another week. We are going to close things out, as we always do, with a little bit of Sad Not Sad for another week. Stick around, won't you? And we return. It is time to close things out with Sad Not Sad for another week. For once, Jake, the Blue Jays aren't going to affect our moods this week, I think.
Yeah, it's true. I still miss them, though. But
Unless the mood is we feel gray all the time, which I guess wasn't that last week? Exhausted and tired and don't want to watch sports.
Yeah, that was last week.
that's so funny. I will say that I'm not sad this week. Maybe I'm stepping on toes, but Thanksgiving the last weekend. And listen, it's obviously yada yada, nice to see the family, nice to see people. But my nieces, it has been 2 years basically since I had seen nieces on both sides of my family. And Melissa's oldest niece is 17 years old now. I've been with Melissa for six. She's 11 when I first met her, and now she's 17. She drove to Thanksgiving. She left for work. She helped us make dinner. Really, just a really cool kid that I'm super proud of and really happy to know. And my mom's, or pardon me, I'm on our side of the family, my niece is 13 and she was 11 the last time I saw her, because it's been 2 years since we were able to have a family get together. And I'm sure you remember, Jake, 11 to 13 is a very big difference. That's a very big 2 years.
Yeah,
you
go from like a lot of change in there.
You go from kids table to like, this is a young adult that is having conversations in a very mature, like, jokingly calling out grandpa for being, you know, for being sexist, like a really hilarious, funny, bright, energetic kid that has become a young adult. And it's really cool because, you know, I went through my 20s, we worked in sports, so we would be able to get to one or two family events a year, and you don't get to build a great relationship with your nieces and nephews, seeing them that infrequently. They sort of don't remember who you are when they're kids. But now these kids are going from like being very young to growing into these young adults and having their own opinions about the world and being very informed. And you aren't just going and being like, so do you like cartoons? What do you watch? Like they have very interesting views about the world. And it's like, it was just really cool. Driving away from those, I remarked to my wife, like, that's incredible how different those kids are, and just really exciting and fun. And you know, it's not slowing down. We have so many. I think between the two of us, Melissa and I, think we have 15 or 16 nieces and nephews, and they're ranging from 2 to 17. So we got a lot coming up here, but just really cool to sort of see those kids become young adults and be able to say, like, I've known you your whole life, and now you've made that leap, that developmental leap, into somebody who deserves to sit at the adults table and you know, call somebody out on their shit and be really funny and really cool. So yeah, that stuck out, and I'm just, made me really happy, and I'm thrilled. Yeah, Jake, are you sad or not? Oh no, go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I was just, oh, sorry, I was going to answer your question. I'm not sad. I'm gonna, similar line. We went to Cassie's family for Thanksgiving on the weekend, and not as exactly the same sort of connections on my end that you have there, but just, like, was nice to have a gathering again, because mm-hmm. It's been so long, and just be able, like, to go to a place and sit and drink and laugh and eat with people without sort of the caveat of like, oh God, which I feel like has been the last 2 years. And it's just a thing that I didn't think I was super missing. And then when in practice, I was like, oh, this is actually really fun and really nice. And just nice to sort of get back to a sense of normalcy.
Absolutely.
Makes sense, as much as we can. So
yeah,
that was great.
Absolutely. I think that's, it was nice. It really is nice. I think it's great, and more of that stuff, the better, as we continue to sort of navigate through this. And well, it is what it is. As a lack of, at the sake of putting out a cliche, it was nice to get together and spread some love and have some laughs with some family. So that is an easy, not sad on both of our ends. We will see how that develops after a week from now, and we're a week into a Leaf season, and we have Raptors basketball to look forward to on opening night. We will deal with that next week when we get to it. But of course, if you want more Sportsfeld, check out patreon.com/sportsfeld. Get weekly look backs to historical events. We are finally talking about the 2015 Blue Jays this week. We have monthly mailbags, as well as all kinds of extras, ad-free episodes, and some extra content throughout the week. Plenty to look forward to there. That is patreon.com/sportsfeld. Sign up, hang out, get more Sportsfeld. In the meantime, we thank you all so much once again for listening to a new episode of Sportsfeld.